As a young boy in the city of Rio, I used to quote as my favorite verse, Acts 4:12. For there is no salvation in anyone else at all. For there is no other name under heaven granted to men by which we may receive salvation. I would stand in my train union, and I, before the presence of my friends, I'd say, this is my favorite verse, and I would quote it. And immediately I would sit down and feel awfully sick inside, uncomfortable, really haunted by the words which I had said were my very favorite. For the words, there is no salvation in anyone else at all, made it all the more aware that there were millions of my fellow compatriotas or fellow compatriots in Brazil who had never heard the name of Jesus. And actually what was good news to me, the gospel, was bad news to them because they trusted in other names or no names at all. But the picture has changed. My nation is your nation, the United States of North America. How do you feel? There is no salvation in anyone else at all. Aren't you ever a little sick inside? A little uncomfortable and haunted to know that the gospel, Jesus, the truth, the way, the life, is good news to you, is good news to me, but it's bad news to literally millions of our fellow compatriots in the USA, for they do not know this name. They trust in other names or no name at all. A student summer missionary in California last summer tells of a vacation Bible school where on the first day she started by having the children to sing a little chorus, Jesus Loves Me. And she announced it and then sang it, a beautiful solo all by herself. There were 25 children there and she was a little irritated at them for not singing. She clapped her hands and said, come on, sing with me. And she sang again, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Before she had finished it, singing it the second time by herself, the reason for their silence hit her. They didn't sing because they did not know it. No salvation in anyone else at all. And Sherry Braswell from GBH, Georgia Baptist Hospital in Atlanta, who went to Oregon as a summer missionary. It kind of embarrasses me when I quote her letter. But she tells of a little Bible school where she told a nature story and then she asked questions. To her it was a simple question, who is God? For she thought of God being God of love, God who sent the sunshine, sent the rain. Who is God? And the little boy raised his hand. God? I don't know. Is his last name damn? I'm haunted. I'm uncomfortable. I'm uneasy when I think that the gospel, Jesus, is the only name granted to men by which we may receive salvation. And to know that this good news to me is bad news to multitudes in our own United States. In Acts 8, we have the story, you're familiar with it, of the persecution that broke out in Jerusalem after the murder of Stephen. And the church was scattered abroad. Philip went into Samaria, and God blessed him. People were converted, and a strange thing happens, that out of this great revival in Samaria, the angel of the Lord and the Spirit of God comes and gives directive and guidance to Philip, saying, go to the road which leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. It is a desert road. And he sets out, and as he arrives there, he sees a man, an Ethiopian, who is a high official for the Queen of Ethiopia, in charge of all her treasure, a man who had been on a religious pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Coming back, he was reading the Bible, and the Spirit told Philip, go, join the carriage. And he did. He arrived, he got up, he sat by the man's side, and beginning with the passage that he was reading about the coming of the Messiah, the Bible tells us, and Philip, starting from this passage, told him the good news of Jesus. We are modern Phillips. 20th century. Perhaps I am a little Ivy League-ish. And maybe you're in the latest vogue. We are, though, Phillips of today. The GAs, whom you love, whom you train. The YWAs, other young people in your church, they're today's modern Phillips. And God hasn't changed, for he would come to you, to them, and to me, and to all of us. And he will give us directives and guidance to go to today's modern 20th century Ethiopian. And the question I raise is, will we go? Will he lead us to today's Ethiopian? Is he a prospect? Is he a mission field? It depends on his geography. For if he lives overseas, we'll go ourselves or we'll pray others to go. But if he lives in our land, we ignore him. He's a foreigner. Did you hear Elias Kolonka last night introduce Southern Baptist to 800,000 plus Polish-speaking Americans in Chicago, Illinois? And he said, what have Southern Baptists done, and what are Southern Baptists doing in Chicago among the Polish Americans? You heard him. Elias Kolonka said nothing. When Fred Alice moved last year to El Rito, New Mexico, his little church building among the Spanish people, built with Annie Armstrong offerings, had been locked for over a year. Dust was on the floor, on the pews. The pulpit hadn't been filled. Because to the foreigner in our land, we had not gone. We could speak of Italian, of Portuguese in the USA, of international students on our college campuses who are foreigners, are strangers in our land. And we have not gone to them. They are today's Ethiopians. But the modern Ethiopian has class. He's a high official in the government. He has arrived. Do you really believe that a man who has everything in the United States, he enjoys the American way of life? Do you really believe that he needs Jesus Christ? And would we approach someone who seemingly has made a success in politics, in social clubs, in business, and would we dare approach him and sit by his wealthy side and begin from that relationship to tell him the simple news of Jesus Christ? Does he really need Jesus? Or we could talk about social classes, not only the up and outs, the middle and outs, the down and outs, and point you to the cities of the United States where we haven't dared go to today's Ethiopian, because it'll mean getting a little bit dirty, because it'll mean changing a little of our attitudes, changing our concept of what makes a person in the sight of God. And we wouldn't dare go to them because some of them would be like this Ethiopian, a little darker than we are, of a little different race. And we would be dictated by our culture rather than by the spirit and directive that God would give us. We wouldn't go to him unless he lived overseas. For it would mean that in this country we would have to sit by his side, eat with him, and have him eat with us, and have them fellowship with our daughters and with our sons. Overseas, yes, but not in our land. This man, Ethiopian, was a religious man. He wasn't born in the church. He was a convert. A man who by conviction became a Jew, a proselyte. And he was so religious that he had gone all the way to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. Coming back, he was reading the Bible. Would God lead us to a religious man in the USA to sit by his side and tell him the good news of Jesus? Dr. Drew F. Stamps, veteran missionary of China, and Royal Ambassador Camps in Florida. I could see China as he would talk about the homes and the altars in the homes. And with a burden soul for the multitudes of China, Dr. Stamps would tell the boys, China, a land of religion, a land without a savior. A college student wrote from Idaho, I never realized what a great mission field we have in the United States. For I've discovered that it is a land of religion, but a land without a savior. We need not be apologetic. When we come to a person where he is, whatever his infant baptism or whatever his religious background, and we investigate through love and through friendship and through the directive of the Holy Spirit to whether he knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We could speak of our Jewish friends, 5.5 million in the USA. We could speak of fellow Baptists who give no evidence that the Bible has ever been opened, that Jesus has ever risen from the dead. We could speak of other Protestants. I am happy of my heritage. Parents 40 years in Brazil, and today flying from San Antonio to São Paulo, where they'll spend 4 years, 4 months in revivals. Where did they spend 40 years? Where are they going today? To a country which calls itself Christian. See, for my Brazil is Roman Catholic. I wouldn't say that all Baptists are saved, would you? We know too many of them, and we wouldn't say that. And neither would I say that all Roman Catholics are lost. But we can't escape the fact that we have today approximately 736 foreign missionaries with our Foreign Mission Board who serve in countries overseas which are predominantly Roman Catholic. And in the USA, we have 43 million Roman Catholics. 1 of 8 children in the USA goes to a parochial school. 5.5 million children in the USA attending Roman Catholic parochial schools. Roman Catholics are our friends. They are religious. But will we go to them only if they live overseas? Or will we dare go to them in the USA? You're a modern Ethiopian. You're a modern Philip. The GAs. The YWAs, they have caught the sensitivity that you have to needs of today's modern 20th century Ethiopian. And the question we need to ask, where do they see him? Have they ever touched him? Have they ever allowed God's Spirit to even cause them to think of our cities where social workers are needed, these areas of language, these new cities and areas where we have no churches? Are they still thinking of the Ethiopian who lives only overseas? Or have we all come to realize that the desert road where God leads us goes through Brazil? It goes through my hometown of Campinas. It goes through Africa, but it passes right through the United States of America. And Philip, being led of the Spirit, went and joined the carriage. And starting from this passage, he told them the good news of Jesus.
I wonder if we might recognize Ms. Hunt at this time and have a motion and announcements. On yesterday morning when you came into this auditorium, you received a printed copy of the Executive Board Report. As I came in a few moments ago, I noticed that there are a number at the guide's station. So if any of you came in after these reports were distributed and desire a copy, you may receive them on adjournment today if you will stop at the information desk at the rear of this auditorium. And may I ask that the guides move those executive board reports that are at their stations to that desk prior to this time. Madam President, I move that the printed report of the executive board be adopted without reading. Is there a second? All right. Any discussion? If not, those favoring the motion will let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, no. And the motion carries. Ms. Hunt, would you like to make other? Yes, following the executive board report, I should like to make an announcement to you concerning our staff personnel. Many of you have read, or you're beginning to read with the publications that are coming out now, about two new staff members elected in January. Miss Mary Hines will become the Sunbeam Band Director, or has become the Sunbeam Band Director by election, but she is fulfilling the terms of her contract as a public school teacher in Virginia and will join the staff in Birmingham shortly. Mrs. Lee Allen is to become the editorial associate in the Sunbeam Band Department. She has been on half-time now while completing some study, which she will complete next week. Mrs. Allen has been with us all through this meeting, backstage working, had to leave this afternoon to get back to her studies, which last only one more week. And on Saturday evening in our executive board meeting here, we had the very thrilling experience of, first of all, accepting the resignation of our girls' auxiliary director. Now, you may think it's strange that I would phrase it that way, but Miss Betty Brewer is to be married on July 11. And so we, with rejoicing for her and at the same time regret for our work, we accepted her resignation and elected to succeed her as girls' auxiliary department director, Miss Marjorie Jones. Now, you will recognize that Miss Jones is the name of a missionary you have known in Ghana, one who has done WMU work there. Formerly, Miss Jones did WMU work in Nigeria, and prior to that time was the Young People's Secretary of the Women's Missionary Union of Louisiana. Miss Jones felt that it was not God's will for her at this time to return to Africa, and after she made that decision, we jumped at the opportunity of having one with so much missionary zeal, so great a love in her heart for the people of the world, so much experience with Girls Auxiliary, to come and fill the vacancy to be created when Miss Betty Brewer marries. Since the announcements were made about greetings, two more have come, one from Brazil and one from Mexico. A bit later, I think Mrs. Fling is going to make some further mention about the autograph party for Mrs. McMurray at the end of the afternoon session, and she will tell you more about where it is. But let me say again that I'm going to share Mrs. McMurray's glory, and I'm going to sit by her and sign my Alma Hunt on those little brochures you have, or on anything you have, in order that we might get you interested in having a copy of the history for yourself. We regret that just by a 2 weeks margin, we missed getting it here for you. And so I shall be happy to see you there. Again, I invite you to go today or in the days that follow to the WMU exhibit and to the other exhibits on the floor under this one. And now that you have seen five of the historical paintings in the meditations and have seen the painter, the artist who painted those, and have heard the scripts read which go with them, I am sure you want to be among the first 700 to purchase the film strip, $1.95, in the Baptist bookstore exhibit. Only 700 are available. You have read in your state papers or in some other publications about the North American Baptist Women's Union Luncheon, which is to be held here in this city at the Marlborough Blenheim Hotel on Friday. Tickets are available in the ticket booth here at the front of this auditorium. By the front, I mean the back of where you're sitting. Now, one of the American Baptist representatives told me just before I came here that some of the American Baptist women had the idea that this luncheon was by invitation only. It is not. You know the North American Baptist Women's Union is that fellowship body in which all of us engage. Mrs. William McMurray of our convention was elected president the last time we met. She will be presiding at that luncheon, the one who is to speak later today. And the luncheon is open to all of you who have $3.25, so long as you are among the first 500. The room in which we're meeting will take care of only 500. So be sure you dash out at the end, not before the end, but at the end, that you dash out and get yourself a ticket. Now, any extra programs which we have, any executive board reports, any of the brochures which were handed out this morning for the honor churches will be at the information booths at the end of this auditorium as you go out into the foyer. Now, you will notice that all of my announcements are pointing to the fact that we want you to get out. We want you to go out that door and somewhere. Either stop there for the autograph party or go downstairs. And we mean just that. For the Southern Baptist Convention opens in this auditorium at 6:45, and it's going to take every minute to get the platform set up. So will you please help us by not coming to the platform? If you wish to speak to a speaker on the afternoon program, we'll ask all the speakers who aren't autographing, and Mrs. McMurray will be autographing, to go off the platform over here to this side, and please will none of you come on the platform. The Southern Baptist Convention begins the music part of it at 6:45 this evening. The Woman's Missionary Union report to the convention will be made tomorrow evening, Wednesday evening, and Mrs. Fling, our president, will speak to that report, and you will want to be present. And you will watch the bulletin boards and the announcements in the convention for the two receptions to which you've already been invited, the one tomorrow afternoon to meet the foreign missionaries, the one tomorrow evening after the evening session to honor Dr. Redford and the home missionaries. We'll have one further announcement before we stand in a minute for our hymn. We will ask our recording secretary, Mrs. Lobaugh, to come and make an announcement of the organization of the 1965 nominating committee. The 1965 nominating committee has met and organized. The chairman of this committee is Mrs. Bradford Duncan from Tennessee. The co-chairman is Mrs. E.R. Eller from South Carolina. The secretary is Mrs. A.L. Parker from North Carolina.
We turn now to hymn number 29. Number 29, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hymn number 29. And may we stand together as we sing these two stanzas. May we sing.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills, deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Be seated, please.
We are ready for the report of the nominating committee. I recognize Mrs. Ernest L. Miller of Georgia, the chairman. Ms. Miller. Madam President, the nominating committee
presents the following slate of officers for 1964-65. President, Mrs. Robert Flynn. Recording Secretary, Mrs. J.R. Lobo. Members at large, terms expiring 1969, Mrs. William McMurray, Alabama, Mrs. Joe W. Burton, Tennessee. I'll ask Mrs. E.E. Wheelis, Vice President from Colorado, to take the chair. The nominating committee has nominated Ms. Robert Flynn as president. Are there other nominations? All favoring the election of Ms. Flynn as president will say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it, and Mrs. Flynn is elected president. And now we would recognize our most gracious and capable president, Ms. Flynn. I do thank you so much. During these days, as we have had the meditation, you might just remain standing a moment to rest if you want to. During these days, as we've had these wonderful meditations, as our hearts have been lifted to God in prayer again and again at each beginning part of our service, these words have been so significant in my heart. They built a house to worship God, to praise Him for His provident care. Give thanks for the Almighty hand, which has urged, prodded, guided into a new land. The yearned for light was found. This has been a new land for me, a new land of experiences this year. But I have felt God's hand urging, prodding, and guiding. And I know you, as you look forward to your place of service this next year, realizing that there is no great place nor no little place of service in God's kingdom, but only the place that you are supposed to be, that you too will offer Him the very best that you can and that you have, realizing that that yearned for light is ever with us. Now, maybe you'd like to be seated. We'll ask our recording secretary to read Article 5, Section 2, and call the names of the vice presidents. As she calls the names of the vice presidents, we would like for them to stand as the name is called.
Article 5, Section 2. The vice president shall be recognized as officers of Woman's Missionary Union by virtue of their election as presidents of State Woman's Missionary Union. Alabama, Mrs. Alex A. Hall. Arizona, Mrs. H. E. Martin. Arkansas, Mrs. R. E. Snyder. California, Mrs. Thomas L. Kilpatrick. Colorado, Mrs. E. E. Wheelis, Jr. Washington, D.C., Mrs. Thornton Slough. Florida, Mrs. Clyde Lipscomb. Georgia, Mrs. Ernest L. Miller. Illinois, Mrs. Theron H. King. Indiana, Mrs. E. W. Springs. Kansas, Mrs. Don Cordes. Kentucky, Mrs. J. S. Woodward. Louisiana, Mrs. F. D. Mabry. Maryland, Mrs. W. P. Watson. Michigan, Mrs. Milton Hicks. Mississippi, Mrs. W. E. Hanna. Missouri, Mrs. Homer DeLosier. New Mexico, Mrs. J. S. Newman. North Carolina, Mrs. A. L. Parker. Ohio, Mrs. J. H. Simpson, Jr. Oklahoma, Mrs. Lawrence Mantooth. Oregon, Washington, Mrs. Felix Green. South Carolina, Mrs. E. R. Eller. Tennessee, Mrs. Bradford Duncan. Virginia, Mrs. E. S. Stratton.
Thank you so much. The name of Mrs. J.R. Lobaugh has been submitted as the nomination for recording secretary. Are there other nominations? If not, those favoring the election of Mrs. Lobaugh will say aye. Those opposed, no. And Mrs. Lobaugh will serve as our recording secretary. The names of two members at large are submitted: Mrs. William McMurray, Mrs. Jo W. Burton. Are there nominations for either of these places? Other nominations? If not, those favoring the election of Mrs. McMurray and Mrs. Jo W. Burton as members at large will say aye. Those opposed, no. And they are elected. Now, I wonder if Ms. Jo Burton is in the audience. Will she stand? I have not spotted her just where she is. You see, I'm a little excited. Now, there she is. All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Burton. And, of course, Ms. William McMurray is on the platform. I would like for us all to stand at this time, and I've asked Mrs. W.K. McGee, member at large, to lead us in a word of prayer for our year ahead. Mrs. McGee, may we stand.
Let us pray. They frankly admit to him that they are there to study, and they
our Father,
want to become involved.
Indeed, we are children in need of a father's guiding, steadying, and sustaining hand from day to day. We come to thee deeply grateful for thy call to service. We thank thee for the joys and blessings that we have found along the way as we have tried to follow thee. We thank thee for Woman's Missionary Union and for the contributions of this laboring together to our lives. We come to thee now praying that we may give ourselves anew as we look toward a new year in our work. We thank thee for these who lead us, and we pray for them, thy wisdom, thy guiding in every situation. Give to them strength of body. Give to them faith and courage that will make them adequate for every opportunity and every problem as it comes along the way. We pray that all of us in the places we fill can be faithful. Help us, we pray, to have open eyes to see the opportunities about us. Make of us the kind of people whom thou canst use in the situations where we are. Cleanse our hearts and make us willing to be led, willing to serve, willing to give. We pray that thou wilt forgive us that so often we have not been nor done according to that which we purposed in our hearts, but grant to us that we may abide in thy spirit, in thy heart of love through this year, knowing and understanding thy mind and thy will and thy purpose for us.
Because the Bible says unto him be glory.
Help us, we pray, to do the things that are important in thy sight, that are important in the kingdom on earth, that are important in the lives of other people about us. Save us, we pray, from pettiness in anything. Bless us now together, we pray. Help us to use the experiences of these days together to strengthen us, to deepen our faith, to enlarge our vision, and to give to us the courage to be true, to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And they always act
this morning we referred to the fact that one of our missionaries would like to be twins. We have somebody on our platform that's not just twins, but quadruplets or quintuplets, as far as her talents are concerned and her various responsibilities. Several of the ladies were asking, well, where is Ms. Mathis? Some of them said, you know, I just don't believe Ms. Mathis is here this year. They had not had the program in their hands. Perhaps they had not been here on that very first day. When I expressed appreciation to those who were assisting with the technical staging, and so Ms. Mathis has been backstage much of the time with other responsibilities, heavy responsibilities. This afternoon, I could present her as the past president of Women's Missionary Union, or I could present her as the promotion division director of Women's Missionary Union in Birmingham. I could present her as the treasurer of the North American Baptist Women's Union. No, I mean that of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance. I could present her as the second vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, she will preside on Wednesday night as I bring my report, the report of Women's Missionary Union, to the Southern Baptist Convention. For a long time, I've been saying Madam President to her, so I'm thrilled that on that night I will be able to say Madam Chairman and address her as I bring that report. For she was my president in Texas, my state president when I lived there, and then, of course, became my president in Women's Missionary Union, SBC. In a very special way, she is my president. Always I think of her in that particular regard. She is my friend, one whom I love and whom I appreciate and whom I wish to express my profound gratitude at this time for all she has done during this meeting. You have observed that we have very special platform guests to be presented this afternoon, and so Mrs. Mathis will present these guests to us.
They want something more than just a
Madam President, it gives me great joy to stand here this afternoon as a representative of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance. As treasurer of this group, I speak for our chairman, Mrs. Edgar Bates of Canada, for our vice chairman, Mrs. A.C. Church of Australia, for our secretary, Mrs. Morris B. Hodge of Oregon, in bringing greetings to you. I have a telegram from Mrs. Edgar Bates, which I should like to read. My thoughts and prayers are much with you at this significant time. Please greet the Baptist women gathered there in my name and in the name of the Baptist women of the world. Marion Bates. It is a wonderful thing to be a part of this great Baptist family belonging to the Baptist World Alliance. Recently, someone asked this question, just which women belong to the women's department? All the Baptist women of the world belonging to the countries that make up the Baptist World Alliance belong to the women's department. In order that we might a closer fellowship together, our women's department has organized on the six continents, continental unions. The North American Baptist Women's Union was organized in 1949 and held its first meeting in 1950. Many of you attended the three meetings, or at least one of them. The first general meeting was held in Columbus, Ohio. The second general meeting in Toronto, Canada, and the last one in St. Louis, Missouri. These have been wonderful experiences for those of us living on this continent. Becoming a part of this fellowship, along with 11 other Baptist women's groups, we make up the 12th group. This fellowship of the North American Baptist Women's Union, therefore, is a very vital and significant part of the Women's Department of the Baptist World Alliance. In a few moments, we are to hear the president of the North American Baptist Women's Union speak to us. Before she speaks to us, I should like to present to you the treasurer of the North American Baptist Women's Union, and then some of the representatives who were able to be here, presidents of the constituent groups or representatives. So first of all, I should like to present the treasurer, Mrs. Frank Wigginton. Mrs. Wigginton, would you come forward and greet the women here?
Thank you, Mrs. Mathis.
I feel that I have 1,363 special friends in this group today, because there were 1,363 women in the Southern Women's Missionary Union who sent in day of prayer offerings after our November meeting. And so I had the privilege sometimes of writing the little words, thank you, and sometimes of answering your queries. And I was always so pleased when one of you wrote in and said, I don't think I place you, but I'm sure I must know you. So today, as I stand here as the treasurer of the North American Baptist Women's Union, I do say that I hope you feel you know me, and I hope that next year as you send your receipts in from the day of prayer, you will not only be thinking of what you have accomplished together at the grassroots, but also what it means to the women around the world. Thank you, Mrs. Mather.
Many of we laymen are wondering why our lives are sapped.
Coming as the president of the National Council of American Baptist Women of the American Baptist Convention is Mrs. Major Johnson. Mrs. Johnson.
Because the Christian life is a spiritual realm, a life of faith, of total dependence in God.
Thank you, Mrs. Mathis. Gives me great pleasure to be here with you this afternoon and to bring the greetings of the National Council of American Baptist Women.
I used to have a sermon.
Yesterday we were in session, and when Mrs. Mathis came and brought greetings from you, I tried very hard to put us downstairs and you upstairs, but she informed me that I was just in reverse. But we are meeting together in the same building here, and all of this week we will be here together in Atlantic City. And we're hoping very much that this fellowship that we feel as Baptists may grow as we come to know each other individually, informally, as we meet and have fellowship. For we do have a oneness in Jesus Christ. We do have a oneness in the things that we try to do and accomplish through our women's groups. And I'm sure that as far as the purpose of our organized women's groups is concerned, I'm sure we would find there a common basis for our fellowship. May I just share with you the words in which we try to express our purpose for existence as a National Council of American Baptist Women related to our American Baptist Convention. Our purpose is stated in this way: to unite all of our women into a fellowship that will help each woman to grow in her devotion to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and in her commitment to the mission of His church through worshiping and working and witnessing in her home, her community, the nation, and the world. And yesterday as we met, we thought particularly of the challenge that comes to us today as women, and we thought around the theme of called to be a woman today, a Christian woman in this kind of a world in which we live today, to fulfill our mission there. And surely here too we have common ground in which we need to meet and work together. And I think more and more we are coming to appreciate the fellowship and the chance for coming to know and understand each other through our North American Baptist Women's Union, through our day of prayer. And as we meet in our local communities, Baptists, with different relationships, with different groups, and yet with a common purpose, that we can strengthen each other as we try to witness in this kind of a world today. Thank you.
Many of you knew Dr. Douglas Branch.
Representing the Women's Convention, Auxiliary of the National Baptist Convention USA of America, Mrs. P.S. Wilkinson, representing the President, Mrs. M.A.B. Fuller.
Not long before he died, he wrote me a letter in connection with that young people's conference. And in his letter he said, yes, Gregory, encourage our young people to be faithful in the activities.
Mrs. Robert Fling, President. Mrs. Ira L. Mathis, Promotional Division Director. Mrs. McMurray, President of the American Baptist Women's Union of the Baptist World Alliance. Platform guests, my sisters in Christ and servants of the Lord. In the words of the Apostle Paul, I say, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. in behalf of the women of the National Baptist Convention of America. Mrs. M.A.B. Fuller, President, I come to say that in the spirit we join hands from across the Commonwealth of the United States of America in bidding you Godspeed on your victorious march. Your work is known and felt wherever Baptists stand. I bring you greetings in the greatest day of opportunity and the greatest day of possibilities since the day of the Pentecost. This is a day in which women are exhibiting their love for Christ, our Lord, through their ties and talents. Therefore, in behalf of the Women's Auxiliary of the National Baptist Convention of America, I wished I had the power to pluck a quill from the wings of an angel and dip it in the ink of the ethereal blue and write across the heaven the word of Mordecai. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. May God bless you and forever keep you. Thank you.
Never did anybody any good to wake me out of a sound sleep. I blew my top and my piety.
And now from the Woman's Convention Auxiliary to the National Baptist Convention USA Incorporated, Mrs. Mary B. Ross. Mrs. Ross.
You see what I wanted? I wanted to be able to walk around in constant ecstasy with love.
Mrs. Mathis.
I wanted to be able to push back my
Mrs. McMurray.
My goose pimples.
Mrs. Fling. Platform, yes. In the name of the Lord of life.
What I was seeking for.
And the Father of us all.
And nowhere in the
I greet you. As the humble representative of one of your sister organizations representing 3 million Negro women Christians in the United States, the Bahama Islands, organized 63 years ago to study, to help to promote missions and Christian education at home, overseas, and the general welfare of women and children in the United States, in Africa, and throughout the world, presently embracing 56 state conventions, a roster of officers, a board of directors, 40 committees, and a youth department, I greet you. The Women's Convention would have me say to you today that we thank you for the fine relationship that has existed between us through the years and for your generous gifts. And especially do I say thank you to the women of the Southern Baptist Convention for your generous gift to our National Youth Camp and Senior Retreat located at Constantine, Michigan. We covet an even closer working relationship with you, strengthening the tie which binds us in friendship and in spiritual kinship. God grant that we shall continue to work together, helping to lift America to the level where her communicants will all know justice and human dignity, to the level where her churches will assert the essential oneness of man before God and in Christian fellowship, regardless of class, color, or culture, and let her churches serve man, rich or poor, white or black, and include all in one great fellowship of love.
Thirdly, in seeking a solution, in leading our labor.
Now from the North American Baptist WMU of the General Conference, Mrs. Harm Sherman.
Here again we fall back to that old activist attitude. You will recall that young King Josiah's reform was mainly in
Thank you, Mrs. Mathis, Mrs. McMurray, Mrs. Fling, fellow presidents, and fellow Baptist believers. Greetings to you in the name of our glorified and risen Savior. It is a genuine pleasure to be here today and to extend greetings and best wishes to you from the women of the North American Baptist General Conference. My first association with the Southern Baptist Convention began when I met Mrs. R.L. Mathis. This past winter, it was my happy privilege to worship in many of your churches throughout the South, and everywhere I went, I found a warm spirit of friendliness and goodwill. I have been intrigued with the insignia or the emblem at the bottom of the stationery of your Women's Missionary Union, using the words, "Laborers together with God," taken from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th verse. We are indeed laborers together with God. It was John Wesley who once affirmed, "There is no such thing as a solitary Christian." As laborers together with God, may we endeavor to make this world a better place in which to live, not only today, but in the tomorrows. May we fill our place with a whole heart and bring a lost world to Christ. Together, may we witness for God as expressed in this bit of verse. I wiped a tear from off my brother's face, and suddenly God spoke and gently smiled. Thank you, my child. Someday I'll wipe the tears from every face. Till then, you take my place. Now, since that day, these hands of mine are his, who formed the world, the stars, and all that is. My hands, so frail and weak, oh wonder grand, are deputy for God's almighty hand. May the Lord shower his richest blessings upon you these days. May you experience spiritual enrichment, renewed zeal and determination, and may you have a warmth of fellowship.
By letter, by telephone, and by telegram, greetings have come to you which we shall not relay this afternoon. They have come from the Seventh-day Baptist women. They have come from the Lock Carey Baptist group. They have come from the three Canadian groups. They have come from the Baptist group representing the Swedish women who live on this continent. And so this afternoon we find our hearts warmed as we have heard these greetings and as we think of others, and as we remember the women on the North American continent who compose this great organization, a part of our women's department. The theme song of the Baptist World Alliance is "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." It has come to mean more and more to us as we have heard it through the years. And as we sing it together in our great North American Baptist Women's Union, it does indeed bind our hearts together on this continent for his glory and for his work.
This afternoon, before I present the speaker and before we have our special music, I should like to claim the personal privilege of presenting the daughter of Mrs. William McMurray, Mrs. Stoddard Emmons, from Ashland, Kentucky. She brings her own special gifts of heart and soul to the work of Women's Missionary Union as a local president, as a Christian homemaker, and mother of three children. Mrs. McMurray, the president of the North American Baptist Women's Union, has perhaps meant more to my spiritual development than any other person outside the members of my own family. A graduate of the Tennessee College for Women, she did graduate work at the University of Chicago, and then, more recently, in 1962, the Oklahoma Baptist University at Shawnee conferred upon her the honorary degree of Doctor of Letters. She has been a student and will continue to be a student all of her life. As you know, she wrote Educating Youth in Missions. And more recently, the book Spiritual Life Development. I think I have seldom appreciated anything that Miss Hunt has written more than I appreciated the foreword to Mrs. McMurray's book written by Miss Hunt. And this line I give you from that introduction. Miss Hunt writes, "Spiritual life development is an overflow of the heart and mind of the author. The mind overflow revealing her deep understanding, the heart overflow her abiding faith. The gift of this manuscript to the Union is an expression of her generosity. The focus of her speaking, her writing, her studying has been the Bible, its missionary message, and the implications of the message on contemporary life. Although we have not moved at all during the time we have had our closing meditation, at the conclusion of Mrs. McMurray's address, we are going to ask Miss Hunt to escort her from the platform. They will walk very rapidly from the platform while the rest of us remain quietly to worship in the closing moments. And they will go to the back of this auditorium to the right in the hospitality area out there and will be there autographing when you go by. Perhaps you will want to get a book to take home to your library or to have one autographed as a gift for your pastor, or if you yourself have not gotten your book, then you will want to do this at this time. And now may we worship as Miss Shirley Young sings for us, O Divine Redeemer.
Given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It was this that challenged and staggered my imagination to think that I could be possessed by the very nature of the living Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus said it so clearly. Greater works than these shall ye do. In my preparation, producing the life story.
Oh, turn me not away. Though